Welcome back to No Sleep Till here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer alongside Evan Ryer. It is week two of the National Football League season. But first, Evan, we have yet to talk here on the channel since the Jaguars' 20-7 defeat at the hands of the Miami Dolphins last Sunday down in Miami Gardens. I got to start right there with you. Given the events, three-point loss, some good things, some bad things, some catastrophic things. A few days later, with some time to think about it, Evan, where are you at in terms of the headspace with this team? Is it panic or is it positivity? Or maybe is it a little bit of a potpourri of both?
You know, it's lame to sit on the fence, but that is what I'm going to do here. There absolutely are plenty of signs of positivity. Really, you know, when like we chatted, you know, after, you know, a lot of my initial takeaways were positive, but the more I look at like the more I've gone back and looked at highlights and looked at some of the advanced stats and some of the breakdowns that, you know, certain guys on Twitter and stuff are doing, I will say, yeah, there's definitely some concern too. We're going to talk about Tyson Campbell later. That's a big one. Overall, I mean, there were plenty of things to like. In terms of the positives, I absolutely have to say that I think Ryan Nielsen had a great, you know, kind of debut as, his scheme, his whole setup. I feel like the Jags did about everything you can do to mitigate the Dolphins attack because it's insane. I mean, they weren't even really playing their best, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say that the Dolphins were at, you know, their sharpest in that game, despite having all that prep time. They for the most part until, you know, the Dolphins come back really started in earnest, were limiting, you know, big plays downfield. The Dolphins really had to take what they could get. I don't know how many freaking screens and stuff they threw, but they threw a ton, which, you know, is what you expect. You know, you got HN, you've got Mostert, you've got these guys that are really good at, breaking in that first tackle and going for 10 yards. But overall, I thought they did a good job of, you know, of limiting that. You know, if you can keep, you know, guys like Tyreek Hill to, for the most part, 10-yard receptions, you take that every day of the week. Offensively, definitely a lot of concern. You know, you throw up a donut in the second half. That's no good. That's where on the reverse side of things, I felt like while Nielsen did a good job with his scheming, play calling, you know, how he managed the situation, I think the Jaguars offense, I don't know if you want to call it letting their foot off the gas or whatever you want to, or if they just kind of, they clinched, they turtled a little bit. That was definitely concerning.
Yeah, and obviously the fumble for Travis Etienne at the 3-yard line, being in that stadium Sunday with the Jags in position, even before that snap, you already had a tumultuous situation with that fan base in that venue. I mean, there were literally folks ready to fight one another, Dolphin fans.
Yeah, you posted that video.
And,
yeah,
you know, you've got a situation where you're going in. You're going into the end zone. It's not just a 24-7 lead. This was another gargantuan drive from 95 plus yards. So it was going to be, it was just this methodical collective. We're better than you and you can't do anything about it. It was a spirit breaking touchdown that was about to unfold, not just because of the score, but because of the manner in which the Jaguars were dominating. And then to have that happen, I just thought immediately, the Jags' chances of winning just went from 95% to maybe 10%, because how many times have we seen it, especially in that league? As you said, you take your foot off the throat, whether it's a mistake, whether it's play calling, whether it's execution, a combination of all those things, you pay dearly. And so you're right. It's hard to look at it in an entirely positive light because you didn't win the game and you lost it in pretty traumatic fashion. That's where I guess the concern comes in too. And let me ask you this, because we'll move into concern or keep it moving. We'll keep it there with the fourth quarter offense. Based on what we saw or really didn't see from the offense in the fourth quarter, is that reason for big concern from you, or are you just of the mindset it's week one, let's keep this thing moving?
Well, like you, you know, it's such a wild thing because, like, I mean, you know, if apples were oranges, you can say if, but you know, I mean, seriously, if ETN gets in, you can kind of, you know, you can do what the Jags tried to do the rest of the game, which was if, on their last three drives, which I think they got a grand total of like 14 yards. You know, it was pretty rough. They ran eight runs, three passes. Those three passes were an incomplete pass and then two sacks. The eight runs, I mean, I get it, you know, but once the Dolphins make that a three score or a 3-point game or even a tie game, you can't play like, okay, well, we'll just eat up. We'll be able to eat up clock. We'll be able to successfully do this. You have to at least, you know, get a little something going. But at the same time, it's wild because overall, I thought the offensive line had played really well for three quarters. They were horrendous. I mean, both like that last quarter, I mean, they could not get push in the run game. And then also both Harrison and Robinson each gave up one sack, you know, down the stretch there. Harrison, I will say in general, did not look the part. I mean, Calais Campbell got there early, whipped him early for that first sack. But at the end, too, again, just a rough, rough display from the offensive line. So I think that matters, too. Maybe it's not even just the play calling, you know, that it was too conservative or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, that's rough. I mean, when you just can't move the ball, when the momentum is shifted, you have to find a way. You have to find something to, you know, at least – look alive, look like you have a pulse. You don't even have to necessarily score a touchdown. It doesn't have to be haymaker for haymaker every single time, but you gotta have some life. And it kind of just looked like they were, you know, rattled and did not recover.
And that's probably why Doug went for the fourth and one, right? Yeah. Early in the fourth quarter, because
he was looking for something. Yeah.
He was trying, whether it was the right time or the right place to go for fourth and one, he was trying. He knew his team had control of that football game for three full quarters or close to it.
Right.
And whatever sliver of control that the Jaguars had, he was trying to hang on to it, even if it meant going for a fourth and one from inside your own 35-yard line. And the thing that gets overlooked is it wasn't just the fourth and one. The Jags couldn't get a yard on third and one. There were two shots for that yard.
Well,
they went for this two-back set, brought Tank in, kind of lined him up as a fullback or an off back to Trevor, Travis, and yeah. Got stuffed. And then, you know, fourth down, that never had a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's funny about that like sequence is I almost want to reverse the roles or reverse the timing of the two RBs there, because Bigsby had – that is one of the best positives of that game, is that Bigsby, like, came in with, like, a serious chip on his shoulder and it looked the part. Like, he was very good. I mean – and overall, the Jags' run game was good up until that very end. I mean, they got, like, 130 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry. That's what you want to see. But, yeah, my point being is that, like – on fourth and one, I'd just run Bigsby again based on the context of the game, based on what we had seen, just go again. If you want to do something weird with ETN like they did on that fourth down play, maybe third down's when you try to do that. I don't think it's a great call on third down either, but I'd rather take a risk there and then punt instead of the other way around. It kind
of one of those two plays too, you've got a quarterback that can move, right?
Well,
third
and that's
one, sprint him out. Get him outside the pocket. Give him a run pass option. I know those haven't always ended well with Trevor in the past, but new year. And let's see what we can do with his legs. Because earlier in the game, while improvising, he did show some of that again.
Yeah, he picked up that first down in the first half that was a part of that, I think, second touchdown drive. And that was like a huge like pickup. Like it was just 8 yards, but it was a big deal to get to midfield, get that first down. But that was the only actual rush that Trevor had all game. I do want to see both. I would love to see more design stuff. We've said this for the past 3 years that we want to see Trevor on more designed runs. I will say that there were probably a few different times I wish Trevor had just tucked it But instead, he tried to make a difficult throw. And, you know, overall, you know, it was a pretty middling game for him. I would give it like a 6 out of 10 or something. But, you know, that's a conversation for a different story in terms of Trevor making that decision. But yeah, I don't know. It's, I feel like for, you know, especially an offensive coaching group that is really well known for how creative they can get and all that different stuff. That's awesome. Your timing and time and place and all that different stuff is so critical. It does not matter if you can draw up a end around, if you can do something that no one has seen before. If you do not call it at the right time or the right situation, it's not going to work. So,
yeah, I thought a lot of the Jags' best work throwing the football came against zone with two safeties deep. And it seemed like maybe more later in the game, the Dolphins just manned up more.
Yeah.
And you didn't see a lot of separation either from his receivers. So, as you said earlier, you can look a lot of different directions for that performance down the stretch. Let me ask you about the defensive side of the ball now, Ev. Concern or keep it moving where the latest injury involving Tyson Campbell at the cornerback position is concerned? We saw some of this last year, and here we are in the season opener, and it crops up in the second half last Sunday down in Miami.
Yeah, that's brutal. I mean, it really just stinks because we don't know a ton of details about the injury situation, but we know he's going to be out for at least 2 or 3 weeks at least, I'm pretty sure. It's just really tough because it was just week after week last year where like they kept trying to put him back in or kept trying to see if he could play, and it just wasn't really getting there. And I understand that after now that you've paid him, you probably feel just as strongly about getting him back on the field. Right now, I would rather deal without Tyson Campbell for longer if it means that when he comes back, he is at least as close to 100% as possible. I don't want him going out there at 70% again like he was doing in the back half of last year, because we saw it. I mean, he got lit up a bunch because he just clearly wasn't at full strength. Before the injury, I mean, he played fairly well. He got targeted twice, didn't allow a catch, didn't register a PD. So if I remember correctly, Tua kind of missed his guys, but overall coverage looked solid. You know, the concern is not like the explosiveness that Tyson can bring, because he's not even really that type of corner. It's not about missing out on that. It's who steps in, right? And overall, I thought that Jerrion Jones did some good things. I think he also showed his lack of experience. I think he got on a few things that maybe a guy who's been around the block a little bit more would not. He gave up 3 receptions over 4 targets. But at the same time, fine. The bigger concern for me, and again, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Mike McDaniel and that offensive staff over in Miami, and they did have a lot of prep time. But Ronald Darby had a tough one.
You knew he was going to be targeted,
right?
I mean, as you said, probably the most effective aspect of Tyson Campbell Sunday was he was the other corner.
Right.
And so Miami wasn't going to get after him. You knew Darby was going to be targeted. You knew Jerrion Jones or whoever played the nickel was going to be targeted. I like Jones early in the game, man coverage against Cheetah.
Yeah,
maybe covered him up on a third down on a slot fade. So that was a positive to come out of things. But I think, again, that particular area, Darby, maybe the safeties trying to influence a guy like Antonio Johnson because he's still a young player whose eyes betray him from time to time. I think that happened again on Sunday. You're right. It's all about now, are you in a two-way go situation for opposing offenses? Because if you got Darby and let's say Monteric Brown out there at corner, maybe you play Jerrion Jones outside now. Where do you see that sort of going in terms of combinations that are also going to work well with your nickel? Right? Because that's where you're counting on Jerrion too.
Well, that's the thing is that, while I do like seeing I think Jerrion is already showing a lot of promise in the nickel. I think now with this injury, you need to experiment or something. You have to see if he can get out there because, of course, you know, on the outside against Tyreek Hill, that was his best play of the game. But, you know, you have a lot of guys that can play the nickel spot right now. I would even say you have multiple guys that are just as good as Jerrion that can do that. So you need to see how you can fit in Jarian on the outside. The last thing I wanted to mention, again, like you said, yes, Darby was going to get targeted 70 yards after the catch, though. 70 yards after the catch. It's one thing if, you know, you're running downfield and you get caught in the air or whatever, but 70 yards after the catch is where I'm a little worried. Now, again, as we, you know, we're going to talk more about the Browns. I do think for both Jones, Darby, for that entire secondary, this is a, you know, a nice matchup to kind of like follow up with after losing Campbell, after, you know, I would say overall an encouraging performance. Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, I don't really know other than that, like who, I mean, other than just rocking Darby and Brown the entire game. I mean, and you can't do that.
I guess it depends on how you feel your strengths work between nickel and corner.
Right.
Are you stronger with Jones in the slot and Monteric outside? Or do you think if you go, let's say, Jarian outside and Darnell Savage inside at the nickel? Those are the things I'm guessing that they're probably weighing this week. But I'll say this. I think both the safeties had their issues too. I think give Cisco a lot of credit in staying with it with Waddle on his explosive and at least getting him on the ground so you could play defense. The killer was that Cheetah's, you're okay if that's a 35-yard reception. That was a tough ask of Darby on that play because he's running with him all the way across the field.
Yeah.
But you really, as a safety, got to get Cheetah on the ground there at about midfield. You can't let that go another 50 yards like it did. And unfortunately for the Jags, right on the heels of the Etienne fumble. That's exactly what happened, which leads us to this, Evan. Concern or keep it moving? This team's psyche. It's just week one. It's just week one, right? Just keep repeating that to yourself. Still a lot of season left, but how do you see that right now?
I mean, that's the biggest, to me, this is the biggest concern. Like really overall, I thought they played fine, but but to play like that and then to give up a 14-point lead and to just, like I said,
traumatized.
I mean, I don't know. That's what's concerning because this team just came off of a pretty, you know, traumatizing end of last season. You know, I know you had an off season to recover and there's new blood and there's new reasons to think, you know, that things will be different, but they really need to show something against the Browns. They really need to show that this has not bothered them at all because, I can see it being a problem. I can see they're, you know, in a situation like that where you feel like you kind of have a W wrapped up and you're ready to start the season on the front foot. Now you're feeling a good bit of pressure going into week two, playing a team that made the playoffs last year, who they looked terrible in week one, but made the playoffs last year, still have a lot of the same guys. Have a defense that is legit, like one of the best. So yeah, I am concerned about that a lot because you wonder about the mental toughness of this squad. You know, we've seen a season, you know, the 2022 season, you can say that they, you know, when you win five of your last six or whatever, wow, this team, you know, didn't have a good start and they kept with it and stuck through it or whatever. But then simultaneously, what have you done for me lately? You know,
you can say it's just week one, but as you sort of outlined there, it's not just week one. It goes back to early December of last season.
Yeah.
Right. This is a continuing theme that had an intermission that's also known as the off season.
Yeah.
But it feels like a movie in which you've got a break in the middle and an intermission. Then you come back and it's right back into that sort of meat grinder. So I think there is something to it. And especially where close games are concerned, because that's what this league is. I mean, this league week in and week out, no lead is safe, as the Jags learned once again last Sunday. You have to finish teams, and especially good teams. And it almost feels like the Jags this week are in a little bit of a no-win situation because, as you said, the Browns were a playoff team last year. But after that performance on their home field against the Dallas Cowboys last Sunday, I don't know how much credit the Jags even get if they do take care of business. You're not worried about that if you're Doug Peterson. Bottom line is you need a win. You need to get to 1-1, but it's kind of where things sit, I think, right now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So with that, Evan, Let's talk about this Jaguar team looking to bounce back against the beleaguered Cleveland Browns. I don't know. That may be an understatement after the last couple of days for the Cleveland Browns. Not only the poor performance at home against Dallas over the weekend, but now you've got the latest lawsuit involving quarterback Deshaun Watson. This one, allegations of sexual assault and battery stemming from a date back in October 2020. It has led to maybe the conversation of Deshaun or Jameis Winston this week. I think the Browns, for the time being, going to stick with Deshaun Watson. Just too much money in this guy. Yeah. I mean, guaranteed money, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then you've got some injury situations for the Browns, too. It's not just the Jags. We learned earlier today, David Njoku, the tight end, the really good tight end for the Browns, going to be out with an ankle injury this week. Browns have issues at the tackle position, whether it's Jack Conklin, Jedrick Wills, missed last week's opener because of injury. So this is an offense of the Browns that's struggling, not just on the quarterback front.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you know, what's funny is that, yeah, the grass is not always greener or whatever, right? Like, it, you know, while the Jags may feel a sense of panic or some fans do, if I'm in Cleveland after that, and after the allegations, and now we have to play a road game against a team that also is coming in with a lot of intensity. Like, that's the thing is the Jags can, like, they're both teams are looking at each other like we both have to kind of win this game. Like, this is a must win. It's an interesting thing. I mean, I've brought it up before too, that, you know, I think it's 80% of teams that go 0-2 in, to start the season, don't make the playoffs. So, I mean, it's very telling. This is, if you can have a get right game in week two, this kind of feels like that. But the problem with this is, one, the last two times that the Jags have seen the Browns, they've worked us. And on top of that, that defense is still, like I said, so that defense is good enough to win a game. Like, the offense can go out there, and if they score 10 points, that defense could potentially, you know, score a touchdown of their own or set up another score from, in quick field or, you know, in good field position or whatever. So, I mean, there are definitely, you know, ways that the Browns can still win this game, but Deshaun Watson was absolutely horrendous. Just not competitive. I mean, they scored 14 points late, but after they were down by 27-3, he got sacked 6 times. Mm-hmm. They actually ran the ball fairly well in that game. But again, you know,
no Nick Chubb either. I mean, no Nick Chubb right now at the running back position.
Exactly.
You have Jerome Ford, solid back.
Solid back, but not Nick Chubb, right?
No. So
that is where the two things that I'm thinking about, like, especially how the Jags can, as you know, fully lock down that that Browns offense and ensure that, you know, at the end of the day, they may only have to score 3 or 4 times to win that game, is how can you replicate the pressure that the Cowboys put off last week? I think the Jaguars have a really good defensive line, a really good pass rushing group. It's not Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence.
But look, you just paid one of these guys that kind of money.
And he was anonymous against the Dolphins.
I know he was. It was.
What's his name? The Dolphins tackle is very good. That he was lined up against for the
most
part.
Is it Armstead?
Yeah. He's solid. But still, I mean, Josh Allen is very good. So you would like to see him at least get a pressure or two. I don't even know if he registered a pressure in that game.
I think they doubled him some, to be fair. But still, something.
Trayvon Walker did have a solid game overall. Now, he doesn't really deserve 2 sacks. One of those sacks was half a yard behind the line of scrimmage.
You know what, though? It counts at the negotiation table, baby.
Make it rain. But, you know, you love seeing him get off, you know, get moving, get off the mark. Same thing with Eric Armstead. You know, he had a really nice play for his sack. So 6 sacks. But here's what I want to point out, because this is something we've talked about a lot over the past couple months. 3 of those sacks, of their 6 sacks, second-level players. Demarion Overshown, who's, if you're not familiar with that dude's name yet, if you didn't watch him at Texas.
From University of Texas, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. And he was really good at Texas, but suffered a terrible ACL injury right out at the end. he's now finally healthy. That is a guy to watch with that team. Just throw it out there. But Eric Kendricks had 2 sacks. Demarion Overshown had a sack. You have 3 sacks from your linebackers. I want to see the Jags blitzing. I want to see them really, really bring it. Like, to me, you shouldn't be super worried about it. Now, of course, there is some talent in that receiving group. Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore. These are not, you know, untalented players. You know, in some cases, you know, they can win games. But I need to see it to believe it. I need to see that. This is not Tyreek Hill. This is not Jaylen Waddle. I don't think they're going to be able to take the top off of you like they do.
Yeah.
I mean,
Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, pretty solid top three. But, you know, even last week, those three guys combined, I think, for 8 catches for 50 yards.
Yeah.
Top three. And now your tight end's out. That's a big part of this thing, too.
Yeah. I mean, this should be, in a lot of ways, a one-dimensional kind of Browns offense. I don't think there's a whole lot going on right now. I think they're going to try and run the ball, but their offensive line got whipped last week. So
there's going to be some quick game, too. I mean, after seeing the Dolphins work that quick screen game to the outside, and also with Campbell out, it's not just a matter of down the field concerns you have, but – you know, quick game, setting edges, being physical against those type of plays, especially after that performance last week. I mean, I think the same thing's true for the Jaguar offense. For me, after that Dolphins game, it's either protect with seven and really take care of Trevor, or get the ball out of his hand, especially quick. You know, he played last year. This was kind of the start of things with him with the injury situation in that December. He got into a situation last year where he was only really practicing on Fridays.
Right.
And he threw 3 picks in Cleveland last year.
Yeah.
And this was when that snowball started to pick up, right, in December, and the negative momentum. Jags lost that game ultimately 31-27, but it felt worse for sure. Evan Engram in that game last year, 11 catches, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. Didn't see much of Evan in that opener against the Dolphins. Maybe he's more of a factor this week, but you said it earlier too. Myles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, those two pass rushers.
How do you deal with them?
You've got to protect with seven and or get the ball out as quick as you possibly can. I mean, that's it. I don't think there's really in between with that.
I also think that this is another game for the Jags run offense. I think, you know, which is a positive, because last, you know, against the Dolphins, they did fairly well. That Dolphins defensive line's not exactly elite, but you're happy to see your backup running back. He was a backup, but he had the same amount of rushing touches as ETN. I like the idea of doing a complimentary thing there and seeing what works. But I think you need to go back to that well, because I feel like while Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, Dalvin Tomlinson is a very, we're pretty familiar with him.
Solid interior player. Had a sack last week early against Dak.
Yeah.
So you get so focused on the edges, and then this guy can win inside, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, I think you absolutely, I don't want to see the Jags come out and throw on the first 3 plays of the game. I don't think they are. But sometimes, you wonder if your offensive, staff is kind of overthinking things. I think this is, take a more traditional approach. I want to see you run the football. I want to see you protect Trevor. I want to see almost a classic pro offense. You know, maybe some trickery every now and again. Do some fun stuff. Get Trevor on the move. I think that's a good idea. But I think Trevor on the move in this game, those edges, again, you aren't going to be able to get away with it as much. Now, of course, you can set things up with a boot and different stuff but Myles Garrett ain't dumb. He's not going to just clean out and then Trevor's got 15 yards of open space in front of him as he rolls back around to the opposite side. You know, this is that's to me where you should be overthinking or being careful, is how do you protect? I think in terms of overall play calling, in terms of overall offensive strategy, I would run the damn ball a bunch in that game. I would do that a lot. I think this is the kind of game that Bigsby should perform in as well. I think this is another chance for him to show that he is actually ready for a bigger role in this offense, long term.
Yeah, I love Bigsby, and I loved how they implemented him in the game last week and bringing him in when they were backed up. Yeah. I like him as a hammer coming off of your own goal line. I love him in the red zone. I know this is, you know, Travis's deal still. He's still very much the number one guy. And so when you get into those situations, you're going to have that guy on the field. But boy, Tank gave you a lot to be hopeful about. Now, he's still a little bit of a work in progress off the ball, pass protection, some of those things. You worry about him maybe a little bit more than you do, say, Travis. But, yeah, all in all, lot to like about Tank Bigsby. And we talk about the Tyson Campbell situation as it relates to the Browns because he didn't play against the Browns last year. You know, Monteric Brown played against the Browns last year, had seven tackles. Now, Jags gave it up, got lit up by Joe Flacco. You know, so, you know, you're almost, it's bizarro world. You're like feeling gratitude that you're seeing Deshaun Watson this time around instead of Joe Flacco.
Mean, it is weird to think that, you know, especially considering, you know, how when Deshaun was with the Texans in those early years, I mean, he was a nightmare for the Jags.
He was CJ Stroud. Yeah.
And then now it's like he's a completely, I mean, it's nowhere close. But, you know, I mean, you know, you got to take what you can get. You know, I mean, this is a situation where.
I think we lost Evan there for just a little bit. Hopefully he'll be able to jump back in with us. But, yeah, it's a huge game. I know it's just week two, but that's where it's at. You let a precious opportunity slip away last weekend in Miami. There's Ev. We got him back.
My Google Chrome crashed on me. I think
we're just
hitting too much fire. It's just too hot. just too much.
The takes melted the server.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, this is to just wrap up real quick. I mean, at the end of the day in the NFL, there are no easy wins, right? No. Or generally,
that's
no
why it hurts so bad because you didn't just have a win, you had a road win
against a team that is
playoff team.
Like, I mean, it just it burns. And then you have Buffalo and Houston after this, which only heightens it more. And on top of that, again, really right now, at least again, it may be over. This is reactionary take from week one. Name another team over the next, like, I would say 5, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks that is in a worse place than the Cleveland Browns are. No. I mean, on the Jets schedule.
You know,
maybe Chicago.
Chicago offensively. What about the Packers with this Jordan Love injury too, though?
I mean, yeah, but do we know the extent of that at this point?
I don't know if it's that much of a long-term situation, but it just illustrates kind of week to week how things can change.
Yeah, for sure.
From the schedule perspective. So I was going to ask you about that next too, as it relates to the schedule and more so the first maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks, some things that maybe you saw in week one that struck you with Houston really having to work to get past Anthony Richardson in the Colts up in Indianapolis, with the Titans doing kind of a Jaguars, but only worse.
Yeah, that's the only thing to
do what the Jags did against a good team and lose. But when you do what the Titans did against a
immovable,
brutal. That was brutal up in Chicago.
Man. I mean, that is what I'll say. It's like, you know, it could always be worse, I guess. Thank God the Titans kind of took away some of the spotlight of the Jags collapse.
Hey, at least we're not the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus, that was rough. I had a great time watching the highlights from that. You know, things that I saw around. Buffalo looks very beatable. They, you know,
you're gonna be able to score on them. You're gonna have to probably though, because
Josh Allen is still good enough to, even with a less talented offensive group around him,
got to tackle that guy too. I mean,
yeah, like, well, yeah, that is, you know, in terms of teams coming up, Buffalo looks very beatable. Definitely, kind of got lucky. Really, I think the Cardinals kind of blew that game as well. Mm-hmm. Houston, you know, looked good, but so did the Colts. Really, you know,
secondary for Houston still a question, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you know, the Colts have a good receiver group. And I will say Anthony Richardson did the Anthony Richardson thing, which is
It was like a combine workout in the middle of a football game, right?
Yeah,
in Indianapolis.
Awesome. The thing is like, to, if nothing else, I mean, I hate the Colts. You know, I'm not necessarily a big fan of Anthony Richardson, but damn it, that dude's not fun to watch because you never know what's going to happen. Like,
you better enjoy it because you don't know how for long it's going to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. That throw, the throw he made in that game may end up, like, at least until further notice, that's the throw of the year. I mean, it's there's some luck involved in that throw too, but good Lord, it is a just bomb.
Rainbow.
And like, yeah. And right on the money. It's gorgeous.
He didn't really step into it. I mean, he was kind of flat-footed.
Like, no way.
68 yards in the
athletically,
air.
Athletically, I mean, he's as talented as, I don't know, any quarterback in the NFL. Like, it's not. I mean, I know I'm, like, really barking up his tree right now or whatever, but I think I am a little bit more concerned, I guess, is my point. I think that Indianapolis game will not be a cakewalk. I don't think
if he's available, it will not be. I just worry for him.
Yeah.
That his awareness sometimes in terms of where it's coming from and who's coming, it's scary sometimes. I know he's a big dude too, but it doesn't matter if you're big if you don't know how to protect yourself.
Absolutely.
And there's too many times I still see Anthony Richardson and I'm thinking this guy is just exposed. To some real danger, but pick up the pieces, Ev. Keep it moving.
Absolutely.
Jags look ahead to the Browns on Sunday, the home opener for the 2024 Jacksonville Jaguars. Ev, anything else before we get out of here?
You know, not anything super crazy. You know, there's a couple tidbits I just wanted to mention real quick. I do think Devin Lloyd played really well against the Dolphins. Overall, I thought he had a really good game. That was great to see after, you know, kind of a month of preseason of like, is he even the guy? And it's like, no, he's still very much.
He's
like,
every down.
Yeah, he's absolutely the guy. It's him and Olokun leading the way. I don't know if Mumo was supposed to be a smokescreen or something or whatever.
Saw some Abdullah too in there, you know?
But if Devin Lloyd can play like that every week, he's going to end up having a really, really good year. So I wanted to mention that. And then the only other real takeaway that we didn't get to mention is, you know, also very encouraged by Brian Thomas Jr. I don't think he necessarily was as sharp with the route running. There were definitely some times where it felt like if he had gotten separation, maybe the Jags were looking at six, but the overall encouraging. I do think that touchdown is more on Trevor's throw than it is necessarily him.
Beauty.
That is as good as a throw as Trevor can make, but that's also representative of Trevor, where even in his bad games, he makes a touchdown throw like that. But, you know,
that's a catch, though, that Thomas early in training camp couldn't make.
Wasn't making, yeah.
He wasn't making that catch in training camp. That shows you how far he's come in a very short period of time, too. And here's the thing with the fourth quarter offense that I think you'll see some more of as this gets going. If they get a little stagnant, just take a damn shot. You know?
Even if
the coverage doesn't dictate it, take a shot.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, really.
Get the ball down the field and see if he can go make a play for you, because he's looking more and more like he can be that guy. Even if the coverage is right, he can make it wrong.
You know, Trevor only threw the ball 21 times, so I get that there wasn't a ton of opportunities to do that or a ton of moments for that, but I think he only threw the ball in the air over, like, 30, 40 yards, like, twice. I'd love to see that more, too. I mean, of course, you don't need to throw 50-yard go routes to have offensive downfield success.
You don't need a bunch of them. Yeah.
But, I mean, you have Gabe Davis on one side and Brian Thomas on the other. Both those guys' top skill set is supposed to be that. I'd love to see you give it a shot. I thought Gabe Davis played well, too. Definitely some credit on that. That's exciting to see.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, but those are the last little notes I had.
No Cam Little note on that 53-yard.
Yeah, that was awesome. You know, you love seeing him. That's a big moment, too, you know, in a weird way.
Road?
Like, on the road, first attempt, 53 yards, was good from maybe 65. I mean, it was super bombed. And also, you know, again, time's expiring at halftime. If you make it, you go up by 10. If you miss it, you're only up by one score.
Right.
You know, there's a little pressure with that too. That's definitely encouraging to see Cam step in and coolly knock that one down.
take care of business. Special teams, a little bit up and down, though. The Parker Washington fumble, I'll give that guy credit. He went back in there and got it.
Yeah. No, he did.
That was definitely
the Dolphins. That's the Parker Washington experience, I feel like, is, you know, he's
the PWE. Let's just call it, start calling it the PWE.
Less talented, more scrappy Christian Kirk. But damn, Christian Kirk didn't have a good game. He was kind of, you know. A
couple of catchable balls on some third downs. Well, what's funny is
that he has not been credited with, I thought he had two drops in that game, and he was not credited with a drop for either one.
Well, the first one to me is a straight drop.
Yeah.
The second one, that was a tough catch, but I think he would tell you he's got to catch it even looking back into the sun.
Yeah.
But the first one was just straight up drop.
Right.
I mean, that's a pro drop.
You want to see him bounce back, but I will say of all the kind of starting receivers of that three, Parker Washington to Christian Kirk is the most like-for-like replacement that the Jags have. I think Christian Kirk, I know they're paying him a ton of money, but at the end of the day, like, I could, you know, I do think that he absolutely has to pick himself back up.
Well, you're right. There's some like-for-likes between Parker Washington and Christian Kirk. I think there even is between Evan Engram and Gabe. I think they're very similar, even though they're technically different positions. What they don't have right now is another Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
So in terms of value and importance of keeping a guy on the field, I didn't think I'd be saying this going into week two. Brian Thomas Jr. is right there near the top of the list for this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, and that's what we said months ago when he got drafted or when we were looking at him, was that even if he doesn't have some insane production-wise season, what he provides in terms of a new dimension is something, the Jags just don't have. I mean, they don't have another guy that can do anything like that. So, you know, that you're totally correct. He is he's kind of a linchpin, I think, to creating space for everybody else.
No doubt.
But, yeah, no, a whole lot to think about coming up to Sunday. And, oh, man, I'm going to be – I don't know. I'm going to be kind of biting the fingernails a little bit during that.
Yeah, we're going to Buffalo. So
yeah, and then we got Buffalo afterwards, yeah.
You and I and the crew were going up to Buffalo for that one. So it would be nice. It would be nice to go up there 1-1.
If you can get up to Buffalo 1-1 and, you know, there's a lot less pressure. Like, I feel like if you lose that game, you're not – you know, in dire straits, but if you lose to the Browns and you go in the Buffalo
up there
Monday Night Football, especially since let me double check real quick. The Bills. Oh well, the Bills play the Dolphins tomorrow night, so
yeah, that's where I think we're going to see the effects of Sunday on the Dolphins.
Yeah,
the Dolphins got out of there with their lives, but they didn't get out of there unscathed, because it looks like perhaps the top two backs for the Dolphins, Raheem Mostert is out tomorrow
and
night.
HN also has an injury.
HN is questionable. So you could be down to Wilson. And I really like the rookie from Tennessee, Jalen Wright.
Yeah.
That the Dolphins have, but you know, that quick turnaround, I guess for the Bills, it's nice because you do have the quick turnaround on the road, but then you don't play again until a week from Monday.
They have essentially a bye week.
It's like a mini bye coming up for sure.
Yeah,
a bigger mini bye.
It's one thing to go Thursday to Sunday, but they get to go Thursday to Monday. So you have to assume that they're going to be, you know, healthy, prepared, extra prep time, whatever. I kind of, you know, I don't know what you want to see tomorrow night, you know, in terms of the build up to that game. You know, part of me would, you know, want to see the Dolphins kind of bring the Bills back down and give them their just desserts after the Bills escaped with a W against the Cardinals. But then simultaneously, you know, I mean, I don't know how much it actually matters. So
here's the thing. If I told you last year, the Jags went 1-1 against their next two opponents, the Browns and the Bills, you probably would have said, oh, they beat the Browns and lost to the Bills.
But it could go the other way.
It was the other way around. Now the road home deal was flipped a year ago, obviously, too. So that plays into it, no doubt about that. Hey, Ev, a lot of fun, man. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Now, it's we've got a lot to talk about, you know, the rest of the season. I don't know. I'm just wicked excited for football in general.
It's fun.
We'll say, one last thing. Good teams win. Great teams cover. Jags covered 3.5. Do appreciate that.
They got that. They got that hook.
I was that. I bought the hook. I will say I did buy the hook, but they
you bought
were
it up big. Before.
I it was at
or three. It was three, and you bought the hook to 3.5.
Got it.
That's still smart. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate them on that.
It's one thing to get 21-17, but to get 20-17 for a push, that's no fun either. So
yeah, absolutely. But all right. Yeah, I think that's all we got.
That's all we've got, but we've got plenty more right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. And so with that, if you haven't subscribed to our channel as of yet, you need to go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell while you're at it. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And if you wouldn't mind, how about a thumbs up, a little like there? How about that?
Yeah,
a little thumbs up would help Ev and myself out too. So with that, for Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on No Sleep Teal. And until next time. So long, everybody.